gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This is the kind of precision preparation that goes into radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
We just found out Arlen Specter's running a little late. That's all right. We're fine. We're all prepared for that. We will fill, as they say in television.
Stretch.
Actually, I don't really do that much running these days.
No. Uh-uh.
Can I will just interview Jim as Arlen Specter.
Okay, then you could ask him about the single bullet theory.
No, I prepared this for you.
No single bullet. Shh. Quiet.
And no Anita Hill hearings.
No.
And I won't talk about the two previous attempts on JFK's life in Tampa and Chicago.
Oh, Lord.
All right. I think now he's running permanently late.
Yeah.
He's just canceled.
Like Kristen Chenoweth ran yesterday.
I changed my mind.
Most of our bookings depend on them never having heard their show ever.
These people are insane.
What the hell? Some booker just got fired somewhere. All right. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying...
I just threw a book at my booker.
Not since Lauren Bacall's went off on her person after our interview on the Oxygen Network.
Oh, tell us that story, please.
Oh, she's a little prickly.
I've heard.
Anyway, apparently you're not supposed to bring up Bogey. Who knew?
Did anyone tell you this?
No, in my ear, they told me, go for it, go for it. Ah. I was like, you're not sitting here with her, and she's terrifying. No, I told them not to bring up Bogey. I was like,
yeah. Did she... Really? Did she say it in that voice?
Yes. Yes, wow. In the Lauren Bacall voice, right in my face. I was like, oh.
Wow.
They ran some little tape piece about how she went on to marry George Peppard or something.
Sure.
Yeah. She was like, oh, went on to, like, it happened the next day. Why? I never...
Wow.
Anyway, yes, she was. But then we settled down and had a lovely time. A good set by all, eventually.
Maybe that's what killed the network. Was you asking about Bogey?
You didn't ask her about her affair with Frank Sinatra, did you?
She thought I was cuddling.
I told you not to ask Sinatra. What? I think your impression of Lauren Bacall was
better than mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Except I made it British for some reason.
I had to start drinking more Scotch whiskey in the morning.
How you do?
All right.
It also creates some Scotch whiskey.
Yeah. No, she understood that, you know, I'm cuddly. It's television producers. Okay. go ahead. She won't mind. We'll just run this piece while you sit next to her.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear. All right. So we have lots coming up on the big show. Ian Millhiser, legal animus list.
Analyst.
Is coming up to talk about what's happening at the Supreme Court.
He was sitting inside the Supreme Court when all of this was going on. So,
really?
Yes, he has an insider's view.
You know, I'm sure Tom Brokaw is looking forward to his analysis.
Ian Millhiser?
Yes, Ian Millhiser.
Not since the Mary Kay Letourneau. And
her lover, Lola Falana.
No, Billy Falau.
Billy Falau.
Yes, not Lola Falana.
The theory on the show is that Tom Brokaw quit right after we invaded, you know.
Lillehammer.
Not Lillehammer.
Slobodan
Milosevic.
Yeah.
That's too many L's in a news story. He's like, all right, you know what?
I give up.
With me now. That's seriously? All right. So StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Follow us on SM Show, Twitter.
Yep.
Stephanie Miller Show on Facebook. Get it.
You can follow me on Twitter, too, Radio Guy Chris. I tweet a hell of a lot more than you do.
Although if you Google just SM, you'll probably get something you weren't expecting.
Yeah, you'll get something completely different.
Just no and between S and M.
Probably
just SM.
Not as gross as Santorum, but...
No.
You know,
ew. All right. Diane in West Arizona says, Steph, much happier now. I switched from the show that drinks coffee to the Stephanie Miller Show, and I'm much happier now. Stephanie's a little buzz that keeps you going all day long.
Aw.
Aw. We've replaced your morning Joe with current crystals. Let's watch the fun. All right. Oh, somebody took my garbage can. Okay, fine.
Oh, dear.
All right. So we have a really big show coming up. Obviously, a lot. It's a story an hour with the Trayvon Martin case, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what is the latest? His brother says that medical records will prove that he was attacked, his nose was broken, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and the brother, who is not a medical expert, says it can take up to 24 hours for bruising and swelling to occur.
Oh, sure.
Right.
When you break your nose, it bleeds like crazy.
Yes.
There is not
immediately.
On his
I've
shirt.
Had a nose job, okay? Let me just tell you that, America. This is not
been broken.
Nose.
That's been broken.
Yes. 24 hours, for God's sakes. I look like, you know.
I saw you.
Yeah. Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Ooh, looked like you've been tackled by your brother.
Yeah, exactly. My Republican brother. All right. So we got a lot to get through today. Mitt Romney, by the way. Oh, who did he pick up? Oh, this is a... Oh, the Mittmentum this morning is almost...
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's keeping me up at night.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Marco Rubio. Could that have been a less enthusiastic endorsement? Well, he's got the...
I guess.
Delegate man.
Whatever.
Yes, I don't.
Yeah, I just...
He said literally just because he doesn't want a floor fight.
Yeah.
I don't...
Whatever.
I had to pick somebody, so...
So I guess I'll go for Romney, I guess.
Oh, my God. By the way, speaking of Marco.
Rubio.
Did you know, I mean, I did not know this. Guess what he used to be as a child?
Cuban?
Yes.
Cue the God Warriors. A Mormon.
Really?
I'm a God Warrior. She's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. No, I didn't realize.
I don't know anyone who is a Christian.
No. He was, he spent his childhood as a faithful Mormon. He was baptized into the Mormon church with his family at around the age of 8, remained active in the faith a number of years in his early youth. Let's see, and then...
And he got out because?
He, what?
Or is he still?
No, he returned to the Catholic church a few years later, receiving his first communion when he was 13.
All right.
What? I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying.
They're Rubio fun facts. He also, would you like some more?
Sure.
He formed a singing group with a neighbor, Michelle, and his sister that would put on performances for extended family. Their inspiration, the Osmonds. Wasn't that all of our inspiration? I had a huge crush on Donnie. I looked exactly like Meryl. I don't know why. I just did. It was the same Osmond song at every function. It's the only one we knew.
Yo-Yo?
I've sung Yo-Yo.
I know you have.
Donnie Osmond, so I can die now.
I just remember on Wonderama, it was a week off for the Jackson 5 with the
Wonderama.
The Osmonds were there.
Wow.
God, we're old. Okay. All right. Jim, speaking of Supreme Court doings, I have a fabulous guest quote for you. It's about Scalia.
Oh, him.
His originalism was always a shock, even if it was consistent, which it rarely was, and even if it was principled, which it never was.
Yeah.
Bush versus Gore was proof that of that. More often, it was just an excuse for Scalia to be an arrogant bully to the people who were appearing before him. Who said that?
Clarence Thomas.
No, that's such a bad guess. Charlie Pierce, our buddy, our pal, our Tuesday pal.
We love Charlie Pierce.
Okay, who said it's plain now that Scalia simply doesn't like the Affordable Care Act on its face? It has nothing to do with originalism, the Commerce Clause, or anything else. He doesn't think the people who would benefit from the law deserve to have a law that benefits them. On Tuesday, he pursued the absurd broccoli analogy to the point where he sounded like a micro-rated evening drive talk show host from a dust-clotted station in southern Oklahoma.
Oh, my God.
And today, apparently, he ran through every twist and turn in the Act's baroque political history in an attempt to discredit the law politically rather than as a challenge to its constitutionality. Who said that?
George Herbert Walker Bush.
No, another bad guess.
Don't like the broccoli.
Another bad guess.
Not
a bad guess. No, it was Charlie Pierce.
Not going to eat it.
Who is at the Supreme Court. All right, and one last one. Let's see. What in hell does the Cornhusker kickback, yet another term of art that the justice borrowed from the AM radio dial, have to do with the severability argument? Is Scalia seriously making the case that a banal political compromise with the negotiations from which bill is eventually produced can affect its ultimate constitutionality? Good luck ever getting anything passed if that's the standard. He's really just a heckler at this point. He can't do If he can't do any better than that, he's right. Being on the court is a waste of his time. Who said that?
Husker Du.
No.
Bob Mould?
And Husker
Charlie
Du?
Charlie Pierce reporting Husker Du. From the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Corn Husker Du.
What?
You don't know. You
Wow. Speaking of legal issues, Kathleen Madigan mentioned this yesterday, and, you know, you have to admit...
Noted legal analyst Kathleen Madigan.
She had the best legal analysis I've heard. She used the Dino theory. She said the right-wing justices are just... barking or just making noise so the right to keep the right wing happy, and she still thinks the law is safe. I don't know about Kathleen Madigan. She's not an animus. But anyway.
Maybe we'll ask
but
Ian
the Dino theory,
that same question.
Just as valid. Yeah. Exactly. I think I'll even say that. What do you think of the Dino analysis?
Well,
I'm sorry, I'm familiar with that.
Bet you Sean Hannity's familiar with that. You know, him being Fred Flintstone
because
and all.
Because of his ginormous Fred Flintstone head?
Yep.
In which resides a tiny little brontosaurus brain?
Yep.
Oh, tic-tac. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, he's. I haven't heard from him. I guess he's not coming on the show this week. So
I didn't think he would.
Gloves are off. All right. We were saying, Kathleen brought this up, that in regards to the Trayvon Martin case, you've got to admit when people on your side are wrong. And Spike Lee, what he did is wrong.
That was
and
bad.
Legally, he's going to probably get. I hadn't heard about this till the very end of the show yesterday. So he tweeted what he thought was George Zimmerman's address.
And it was somebody else's.
But either way, if harm would have come to
George
the real
Zimmerman,
George Zimmerman or the people that lived there.
Liable, and it would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that's exactly, and I, what is it the Black Panther Party has put out? Like
stop doing that. That's not helpful.
Is that, you know, first of all, you're doing the same thing that George Zimmerman did. You're
right,
acting
being a vigilante.
Like law enforcement. Mm-hmm. You're not law enforcement. You know, what you need to do is put pressure
on the
authorities
the real Black
to arrest
Panthers.
Him. I know. I know. Don't, you know, this is exactly what you're doing. You're being vigilante's back, uh-huh. And you can't descend to that. Yeah, he actually retweeted what he thought was George Zimmerman's address.
Ew.
And the home actually belonged to an elderly couple. I mean, the fact that this tragedy could have been compounded yet again.
Yeah. The elderly couple hasn't been able to go home.
But one of them has a heart condition.
Because
you know,
of this.
Yeah.
And what if they had been killed by a Black person?
Right.
Yeah, what you know.
Yeah. He has approximately 250,000 followers, Spike Lee. And so they've received hate mail and threats. They've temporarily moved, I guess, into a hotel.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have checked the tweet for accuracy and instead chose to retweet the content. So, I mean, it just...
Wow.
That kind of, but why do you do that? That kind of stuff just makes the side
makes
of justice
worse.
Look bad.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, anyway. All right. I know the main thing I got in that story is 250,000 Twitter followers. Let's go, people. Follow me at SM Show. For fuck's sakes, 250,000. That's a lot.
Yeah.
I would use my superpowers for good. All right. 18 minutes.
Do you even know how to get on your Twitter?
No.
I didn't think
18
so.
18 minutes after the hour. Unless Arlen Specter has been listening, we may be back with him. As we continue
on. Not a chance.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. When did Sexy ever leave radio? Never. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll from anywhere.
Although,
look at the right-wing radio lineup.
Yeah, a lot of people are in radio for a reason.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from
anywhere. Stephanie
Miller.
Yeah. The most popular left-wing host. She's sarcastic.
Thank you, Mark Levin. I always enjoy your endorsement. All right. Just because his voice is so soothing, that's the main reason.
Mm. You're sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
Thank you. You don't need to find it. That was a good enough impression. All right.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience. She's been up and coming for 20 years.
No, you
She's sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
Bastard person.
Yeah,
all right.
You don't want to listen to anyone sarcastic on the radio.
You know what?
What?
That's because we're hogging all the sexy on our side. Hello, in the New York Bureau.
With Fugelsang. With John Fugelsang.
Good morning. What
Hello,
a thrill.
Mr. Another Network, which we won't mention.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to be your disembodied voice guest for the morning. Thank you very much, kids. A thrill watching you guys all week.
In the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. Well, you know what? We got to ease the audience. You're a little too much. You're a little too sexy.
A little too sexy.
Got to ease them in.
Okay.
You're just going to be the disembodied voice. Well, if they put up a picture of you, people are already fainting. The fainting salts have been.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like the Beatles coming to America.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. Oh, and by the way, Hal Sparks says that there's too much light in the studio for you because you're nearly translucent.
Right.
So
yes, that's
we
true.
We may have to.
The census classifies me as albino mime, so that's very possible. But I hopefully will be in there with you guys on Friday, either next Friday or the Friday after.
Sweet. Yes. Yeah, and we're working on getting a camera or a Skype or something.
Whatever.
In the New York.
I'm telling you, y'all huge TV stars, you're going to need a camera here in the Boo Radley suite in New York to be able to get all your New York guests that want to join you.
Yes, exactly. All right, so you've been, you know, creating news, as you have been, creating the Etch-a-Sketch moment.
As you are wont to do.
Over on CNN.
The right-wing hate I have gotten. And then Slate did a piece about it, and I got even more right-wing hate for it. And the funny thing about it was, after they said that the comments were taken out of context. So every news network began airing my question to show that it was really about ideological positioning.
Right.
Yeah.
And that you know, Mitt Romney's followers were actually saying the truth, and that's the greatest irony of this whole thing.
Yeah, people assume you brought up the Etch-a-Sketch, but it was evil.
I didn't even bring it up. I just asked a very innocent question. Yeah. But that's the beautiful irony of it all, is that Mitt Romney's been lying about so many things this entire campaign, and we can use the word lie because he has, about the recovery, about Obama's record, about the health care law.
Hello,
finally, the liberal media that's let Mitt Romney's lies slide crashes down on him because someone in his team tells the truth.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I know. And then, honestly, he doesn't even need your help. It's just all you need to do is just let him talk. And he,
yeah.
he says things. Well, first of all, he has elevators for his cars.
Yes, he wants a permit to build one.
Separate elevators for his cars in his mansion out here in La Jolla. Kenny Pick in Cleveland.
Cars in an elevator. Daddy goes up and daddy comes down.
Shameless.
I was upset about this until Mitt told me that the elevator was just the right height. So.
Yeah. He's the most awkward man in the world. By the way, do we have George H.W. Bush?
Oh.
Yeah, let's play that.
Wasn't going to do it. Did it.
Scintillating.
Did it. Yeah. Wasn't going to endorse. Did it.
It's great to know that the guy who thought Dan Quayle was qualified to be president thinks Mitt Romney is
too. Yes.
Barbara and I are very proud to fully and enthusiastically endorse and support our old friend Mitt Romney.
Sounds enthusiastic.
He's a good man. He'll make a great president. And we just wish him well. So we're delighted he's here. I do think it's time for party to get behind Governor Romney. And she was reminding me, Kenny Rogers sang it, it's time when to hold him, it's time when to fold him. Well, I think it's time for people to all get behind this good man.
Or one of the good men there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, did
which
he call
one? I don't know.
He almost called Mitt Romney the coward of the county.
It's great to know that as soon as the cameras went off, Mitt Romney was on his knees begging the Bushes to please not have George W. endorse me.
Yeah. He, by the way, he's worse at lyrics than Mitt Romney is. That was
know when to hold him, something. But isn't it? It's so inspiring. It's so inspiring.
my point is, devil went down to Georgia. Newt Gingrich, devil. My point.
Isn't it great to see a millionaire at birth ex-president endorsing a millionaire at birth wannabe president?
Yeah.
It's just so moving.
Yes, it really is. It really is. All right, real quick, Mesha in Delaware. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mesha.
Hi, how are you, Stephanie? Love you so much.
Oh, well, you know what?
Welcome to Corinth.
Oh, thank you. Hold that thought, and we'll take more of that after the break. 29 minutes after the hour. Back
to
Fridays with Bugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've never been called fierce before. Strident, hectoring has been tossed around.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
You can be glad you don't have smell-o-vision there on current TV, because Stephanie has something, wow, for breakfast.
I have a giant Tupperware of, this is delightful, really, because everybody wants to know what I'm eating. It's turkey meatballs, broccoli, and pot stickers.
All in one
container. That's fantastic.
Container.
Uh-huh. That's great.
Yeah.
And it's cold, right?
It smells like somebody
It's my specialty. It's left in my freezer at the end of the week.
Right on. Stephanie eats garbage, but she eats cold garbage, but it's healthy cold garbage.
Yes. Exactly. Mm. All right, kids, we have a very important guest we've been hoping to get for quite some time. Yep. His new memoir is amazing, Life Among the Cannibals, A Political Career, A Tea Party Uprising, The End of Governing as We Know It. Senator Arlen Specter, welcome to the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Nice to have you, sir. I don't know if you were aware, my dad ran with Goldwater in 1964.
I didn't know. Oh yeah, sure.
There
he was an upstate New York congressman, right?
That's right. Look at you.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to say, you're certainly not the first person. I've made this point a lot, and people can agree or disagree, but about how far to the right, in my opinion, the Republican Party has gone. I mean, it certainly doesn't appear to me to be my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. I don't even think it's Ronald Reagan's party anymore, is it?
No.
I
don't think Goldwater or Reagan could win a Republican primary. Let me tell you the proof of it. He got an outstanding senator like Bob Bennett from Utah, a 93% conservative rating, and he gets defeated in the primary, not for one vote. He cast one vote for the Bush program, for a Republican program for $700 billion to help the banking and the automotive industry when it looked like we were heading for an economic collapse.
Right.
And that you're simply not pure enough if you've only got a 93% rating.
Well, I mean, isn't that exactly it? And, Senator, shouldn't that be just a nonpartisan, uniquely American story, the rescue of the auto industry? The American auto industry, which is now back, is number one, has saved how many millions of jobs, created more. It's driving the recovery now, and yet they still can't give the president credit for that.
Well, absolutely. And bear this in mind. Dick Cheney, that wild-eyed liberal, came to the Republican caucus and told us that if you don't support Bush's program, you're going to turn him into a moderate Herbert Hoover. But listen, the Democrats are the same. An outstanding senator like Joe Lieberman can't win a Democratic primary. And my book goes behind the scenes to tell you what goes on and how much concern, really fear, there is that a single vote can end a political career, and that is stultifying.
Well, Senator Specter, I know what you mean in your case. I mean, and my point is that this has been made so many, the point's been made so many times that Ronald Reagan worked with Tip O'Neill. Ronald Reagan raised taxes 11 times when it became necessary. You know, in your case, you voted for the stimulus, which, again, you know, provably saved and created how many jobs, and that was coupled with, you know, health care reform in your town halls. That was your moment, right, of deciding to switch parties.
Well, when I cast the vote for the stimulus party, bottom dropped out of my Republican support. I had won a narrow election against Toomey in 2004, and he had decided and made a public announcement that he was going to run for governor. And I had a clear path for reelection. But when the stimulus was proposed, it looked to me like we were going to have a 1930-style depression unless we passed it. I said, that's a risk that has to be taken. I wasn't sent here to preserve my seat. I was sent here to do what was in the public interest.
Well, and I've made this point many times, Senator, that, you know, even in my dad's day, they truly had friends on both sides of the aisle, and they really did work together. I mean, you talk about, you know, basically the book is about how the growing extremism in the Republican Party led to your choice. But Barry Goldwater used to talk about that, you know, about the, you know, extreme influence of the religious right on the Republican Party. In the 80s, mm-hmm. he used to stand up for, you know, gays in the military on the Senate floor.
Well, he was pro-choice. To be pro-choice and to be tolerant of gays would be a loser in the Republican primary.
Yep.
Right. Well, look at the contortions Mitt Romney has had to go through.
I have quoted Bill Maher's statement, which I think fits Romney to a T, and that is that Romney has changed positions more often than a pornographic movie queen.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
You quoting Bill Maher is something I thought I'd never hear, but I
enjoyed it. Well, listen, there is a way out, and I go into this in detail in my book. You have the situation of Senator Lisa Murkowski in Alaska.
Yeah.
Tea Party runs an opponent. They cannibalize her and they beat her. she decides to try a write-in. Can you imagine the difficulty of writing in Murkowski?
Yeah.
If you use a Y instead of an I, your ballot's out. And she won. And that experience shows that if you educate the electorate and motivate the electorate, you can bring back moderates in government. She's a good example. Her example is the way for the future to make Congress work.
Do you feel, what do you feel like this election cycle is going to hold? I mean, do you think there's going to be some sort of return to reason?
Well, that remains to be seen. There's naturally going to be the heaviest emphasis on the presidency. But no matter who is elected president, without a Congress which works together and passes legislation, nothing will happen. But that's why I wrote the book, and that's why I'm so happy to talk to you about it.
That you are good at this plug stuff. It is Life Among the Cannibals, a political career, a Tea Party uprising, and the end of governing as we know it. Arlen Specter, I know you got to go. You've got a million other interviews. Thank you so much for your time. So appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you again real soon.
All
there
right.
he goes. Senator
wow.
Arlen Specter.
What a man.
Yep.
Number one with the magic bullet.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. You know, I was just going to tell Jim Ward, how noted JFK conspiracy theorist, how proud I was of him, and there you went and ruined it, John.
I waited till he was gone, and by the way, his book does have detailed stories about being in the Senate whirlpool with the naked Ted Kennedy.
Oh, you know, that's something I didn't need to know. But thanks.
Oh, he gives details. It's
quite
a read.
Oh,
not like that. No, he actually made a joke about how a rising tide lifted all boats.
Hey!
And a great, great, great inspiration to cancer survivors in America.
That's true.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's so many facets to his career, but, you know, that's actually one of them. And that's why Michael J. Fox, John, you blurbed his book, because he's done so much work on stem cell and all of that.
Mm-hmm. He has, and that's a conservative thing to do. The fact that conservatives are still fighting stem cell research is just illogical.
Well, they're not conservative then, are they?
Yeah, they
exactly.
They're all
radicals.
For Nancy Reagan, except when she's talking about something they disagree with, like science, right?
Oh, that's going to help people that aren't millionaires.
Yeah. Mesha in Delaware, we were talking more importantly about how much you love me. Hi, Mesha.
You know what? I'm actually infusing your liberal views into my 3-year-old right now. So
awesome.
That's how much I love you.
Join us.
You putting him in the bathwater? Is that how you infuse it?
Well, I just wanted to make a quick point. In regards to the Trayvon Martin's case, I remember his dad was stating that, you know, after he got beat, after his son was beating and all that stuff, Trayvon was the person who said, you know, saw his gun and say, you know, I'm going to kill you or you're going to die now. Something in regards to that. Wouldn't it have been the other way around, the person who had the weapon would more than likely say something like that?
Yeah. This is hearsay. You don't need to be a lawyer to go, this is...
It's a little bit crazy, but you know what? Just want to say I love you guys, and I'm going to keep on infusing your stuff, growing my little liberals and all that
good.
Stuff.
Good.
Right.
You're soaking in it.
Work.
You're soaking in it. It's liberals.
The right wing would call that brain. They're
trying to claim that Zimmerman was crying for help. The guy with the gun was crying for help.
Oh, help me! I know. I can help myself. I have a gun.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate the fact that the Zimmerman family loves George. I get that, and they're going to do everything they can to help him. But yeah, Jim, you're exactly right.
Threatened by a bag of Skittles,
heavier by 100 pounds, holding a 9mm weapon, and that's the guy crying for help. But here's the thing that I want to know: why aren't we seeing more conservatives coming out and being outraged that a guy who was arrested for assaulting a cop, a guy who his ex-girlfriend filed a restraining order against him for violence, was still allowed to carry a loaded concealed 9mm weapon?
Yeah.
It would never happen in New York State, and it only happens in Florida because the gun lobby is writing our gun laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, we should do an update. So they have reached a settlement with Spike Lee, this elderly couple.
He phoned them personally.
Right. No, I know. And you know what? You have to say at least you give someone credit when they do the right thing.
Right.
It was a horrible mistake that could have ended horribly, but they actually, the woman said, "What is it? Oh, their son has the same name.
George Zimmerman.
Right. And so,
middle name, yeah.
Right. He tweeted their address, and obviously they've had to move. Anyway, Lee tweeted late yesterday, I deeply apologize to the McLean family for retweeting their address. It was a mistake. Please leave the McLeans in peace. Elaine McLean said he was really kind. When he called us, you could tell he just felt really bad about it. It was just a slip, and I know that he really, really has been concerned. So, you know, when they reached a financial settlement because they've had to move to a hotel and whatever.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I heard they were outraged. He didn't apologize for "She Hate Me." That's what they really wanted.
Oh, and, stop it. See, I would have forgotten about that if you hadn't have brought it up again.
This is my pizzeria. You put pictures on the wall, we need your own pizzeria.
Yeah. Chris in Virginia. Hey, Chris, go ahead.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
First, let me say I'm so glad you're on Current.
Thank
you're
you.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, what?
Right? Right?
Yes, she is absolutely gorgeous.
It's blinding in person.
I'm calling to, about the Trayvon.
My mom, thank you, because I know my mom is probably talking to the TV right now. Take the baseball hat off.
Are you turning your mom into a Current watcher?
Yes.
Brilliant. Whoa.
All right, go ahead, Chris.
I apologize. Yeah, I just, you know, what I find really disgusting is the way that Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly are approaching this story. They've kind of taken it, you know, just to a whole another disgusting level. You understand what I'm saying? And
in what way?
I find it really repulsive.
In what way?
Their question. Well, it's who they bring on.
Yeah.
You know, to speak for the guy.
Right.
Questions.
Chris, they don't know from the beginning. I don't know if you've noticed. I don't think they know what to do with this story. It's like, oh, an unarmed dead teenager.
Yeah.
How can we make this good for the Republican Party and bad for Obama? I mean.
And what's equally as interesting is that is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello?
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah.
Hello.
No, go ahead.
Sorry, I was saying what's equally as interesting is how the kid's father, how he gets involved, how the prosecutor gets involved, and how it all happens so fast. You know what I mean? How within 40 minutes, you know, the prosecutor's on the scene, and, you know, that's his dad making a call saying, handle this for my son.
His dad, the judge. I mean, what do you think? What do you think Mr. Zimmerman's first phone call was to?
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, and I'll leave after this, I find Arlen Specter to be a complete bore.
He said the same thing over and over again. All right,
you
I love
can call
you.
Him a lot of things, but not boring.
No, he's not boring.
Fascinating career.
No,
tell stories about naked
boring.
Ted Kennedy, for God's sakes.
What's more scintillating
than
that?
Yeah, top that, pal.
Who have you been in a hot tub with,
Huh?
Mm-hmm. John, did you see, who is it, the Jim Zimmerman's father or brother that said the thing about the president? I didn't expect this level of hatred from the president.
From the father.
Yeah,
what?
George's father, yeah.
The president didn't say anything about Zimmerman. He talked
I know,
as a
not
parent
a thing about
his,
him.
His you know, about his own kids.
Right.
I mean,
and how
nothing,
dare he? Yeah, and there was nothing hateful in the words the president chose.
But I know, but that's the only storyline Fox and the rest of them know how to pursue.
Yes, but he was talking while black.
Yes.
Well, I was talking with a law enforcement guy here in New York about this case, and the point I brought up was, you know, don't you think in the way Zimmerman would have been better off if they had arrested him right away? And, you know, they thought that no one would ever hear about this. The story would never catch on. But here's the irony of this case. Potentially, if he does get arrested, if there is a trial, he has sent out so many surrogates as his spokespersons and proxies that they have poisoned any jury pools. They have all told stories with contradictory elements between his father, his brother, and his black friend for hire. He's told so many different stories through these people that now he's actually made his legal chances worse.
Yeah,
if
Kathleen
he'd been arrested right away, he'd be safer.
Kathleen Madigan and I discussed the convenient black friend yesterday, and we both came to the conclusion Aisha Tyler would not quit the talk to probably defend me, and Rhonda Sykes would not defend Kathleen Madigan.
Nope.
If we...
And they know you better than he knows him, you know. And again, it's like this guy. Well, you know, why aren't the NRA guys? Why aren't responsible gun owners coming out and saying, no, we don't like this. This guy assaulted a cop. We're not standing by this.
By the way, and we got a break real quick. 48 minutes after the hour. The other thing I should say about Spike Lee is when he said, you know, I apologize. Please leave the McClains in peace. He also should have said, and please leave Zimmerman in peace.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If violence is wrong, violence is wrong.
48 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with John Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, hello. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, I'm sorry. Are these flowers blocking my shot on television? Did anyone else here get flowers from a former governor? Oh, just me. Why isn't that sweet? I got, welcome to Current TV, flowers from Governor Jennifer Granholm. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Who's awesome
I got hit
show.
On by Larry Craig once.
Whatever. look at that. Welcome to Current TV, Stephanie. Looking forward to watching your show. All the best, Jennifer, Mark, and the War Room team.
Aw, hooray.
Current, that such a warm, cuddly home. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be doing an entire hour with Cenk tonight on the Young Turks.
Sweet.
Cool. Nice. I forgot to mention that. Yes.
That was a great interview you had with Granholm, by the way. Really good TV.
Oh, thank you, honey. She's awesome, as is Cenk. We had Cenk in here. The IQ went up like 1,000 points, and then he left, and it was back to the fart jokes.
This week, it really has been Senator Fart Joke, Senator Fart Joke.
Right?
Yeah.
And now, Christopher says, Stephen the Mooks, this man must be on your future husband list. It's the guy singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the back of the police car.
Oh, yeah, Canadian the guy. Drunk Canadian guy.
It's fantastic. He even does the instrumental riffs.
Well, that's counterintuitive, eh? The
right?
Drunk Canadian guy.
Oh, good.
Yeah, knowing Queen lyrics helps out in county.
Yes. Brotherhood of men on the planet Earth. Is this the
Don't sound drunk.
No.
Caught in a landslide.
Okay, change keys on me.
Harmony. Well, he's drunk. And Canadian.
Look up to the skies and see.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, thank you for sending that out. He is awesome.
I'm just a poor boy.
The only way that story could have been better, Jim, is if you know. Well, you know, I'm an aficionado of the mini bands.
Yeah.
There is a tribute, a mini Kiss.
Mini Kiss.
Right. Is it
in Vegas.
A tribute band to Kiss made up entirely of little people?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Mini Queen. If they, it had been Mini Queen, my life would be complete.
I feel a little
tiny piano. Oh, if it had been a drunk mini queen in the backseat.
You couldn't have done it
that
fast.
Why are they not playing that at Guantanamo Bay right now?
Right?
Maybe they are. On a loop. They would name names and could go home. It'd be beautiful.
Yeah, maybe they are. Who can say?
Keith in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with John Fugel saying, hi, Keith.
Hey, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
I love the radio show. Love the TV show. Very distracting.
Thanks.
Also distracting is I can't believe how vivid the lighting is in the studio.
I know, right?
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you know, for all of you out there, one of the
I would confess to several shootings. I was. Just turn the lights down.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk.
All right.
Anyhow, one of the big traditions in Milwaukee is the Friday night fish fry. And when they're having elections, the people who are running for president generally go to this place called Serb Hall, which is on the south side of Milwaukee.
Right.
So tonight, we're going to head down to Serb Hall to meet the most awkward man in the world.
Oh. Mitt Romney?
He's going to be down at Serb
Hall. Why? It's a fish that appears to be fried. Why? Oh, my goodness. Look at this.
Yeah, the fish is the right color.
These fish are exactly the right depth.
And we hope that he stops by our table and says something awkward just for us.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, call us Monday and let us know.
Yeah, we'll do that.
How that goes. He'll be surprised. He'll be surprised to see fish at a fish fry because that's his gig. Oh, my goodness. Pancakes. Wow. Well, that's something. All right.
Fish pancakes.
Wow.
Oh.
They have just the right smell.
Who was that?
I didn't burp. It wasn't me.
Wasn't me.
Someone just burped. I don't know who it was.
Was that you, John?
Excuse me? No, that would be in poor taste on this show.
Robert in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
You know, I wanted to just, in relation to our son, Trayvon, you know, I have a daughter who's contemplating going to college on the East Coast, and we've been told for her not to drive through Ohio because if you have New Mexico plates and you're Latina or Latino, you will be stopped and you will be searched. And it happened to a very close friend of ours twice, and it's just totally messed up. And you know, you catch a cop or a neighborhood watch person on a bad day, and you know that could happen to you. And
they do know that New Mexico is part of the United States, in Ohio, don't they?
It's just
well, New Mexico has had to put New Mexico USA on its license plate because
isn't
people do
funny?
Get more.
Yes, they have to change it to not that Mexico.
And that's where
USA.
We're going tomorrow.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Oh, Captain Segway, I applaud you.
Thank you.
Albuquerque, there are only less than 20 tickets left for tomorrow night in Albuquerque. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I, Sexy Liberal Show, Pup Joy Hall. Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, for the link for tickets. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Happy Friday! All 3 hours with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. Oh, by the way, so this is not a prop. I do actually bring arugula just about every morning.
Yeah.
But you can tell that's why it's a liberal
and
show.
It matches your hat.
Have you seen?
It's liberal because you know what arugula is?
You've seen how expensive this stuff is? And now a story about your vegan frappuccino.
Oh, yeah. Yes, this story.
Soy strawberry frappuccino. Anybody? Anybody who buys that at Starbucks?
Not me.
It's you know what's in that, John? You know what it's made of?
A milkshake?
Beetlejuice.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
And they've been advertising it as vegan.
The vegans are very upset.
It's made from actual beetles.
Yeah, apparently there's a beetle where if you crush it up, it makes a red dye.
Mm. Well, that's the wrap on goldfish crackers, right?
That they're actually goldfish?
No, that they're actually crushed beetles.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I've always heard that. I don't have verification.
Crushed beetle.
I'm done for. I ate my weight in goldfish crackers when I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum.
You're just going to have an arugula smoothie every day now, Steph.
Yeah.
This crushed beetle dye is used in a lot of foods that people eat. It's used in like strawberry Pop-Tarts. It's used in Yoplait yogurt. So, yeah.
Thanks for that.
Uh-huh.
All right. We had someone call in from France earlier this week, so the show was then both French and gay, and now we've been talking about vegan frappuccino and arugula.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Up next, wow. NASCAR.
NASCAR. Now, the report from NASCAR. All right. Let's see. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Elliot, yay. He just says yay, simply. Yay.
Oh, nice. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yay! I'm really happy you guys are now on and current. I used to listen to you a few years ago, but I live in South Florida, where all semblance of progressive radio has been abolished from the terrestrial airwaves.
It's been banished to the land of wind and
ghosts.
Yes,
because there's no market for any kind of liberal thought of any kind, John Fugelsang. Except that we have the number one comedy album and the number one comedy tour in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow,
and you managed to rock it at the Parker Playhouse, too.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's right, in Fort Lauderdale. Huh. Yeah. And tomorrow...
Mm-hmm. Progressives of the Great Southwest, prepare to take a left in Albuquerque.
I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Because by popular demand, the comedy phenomenon that is captivating the nation, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, is making its Albuquerque debut.
It's the kind of bold flavor they enjoy in Albuquerque.
On March 31st, just in time for election year insanity and frivolity, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and the queen of progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, will perform live at Pope Joy Hall on the campus of the University of New Mexico. Tickets are available online at unmtickets.com or by calling 1-877-664-8661. New Mexico, come experience liberal laughs of nuclear proportions.
You said nuclear. It's nuclear, dummy. The S is silent.
Duke City, you can't miss this.
Speaking of appreciation for hot, sexy liberal men, Jennifer in Rochester, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Mama. I love you.
I love you back.
I just wanted to say that since you're on TV now and we get to see all these hot, sexy liberal men that you're working with, that I would like to offer myself up as your sidekick who happens to molest the men.
Yes, okay. That's my job.
I would help you.
All right. Well, they'd appreciate it.
Particularly, they're Christian, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, well, hello.
Right on.
Hello. All right, Jen.
Well, we have an arms hurt from all this twisting.
All right. Enjoy your eye candy.
Why, there's a chair right next to me.
Mm. All right. Okay.
What about John?
If a man says it, it's creepy.
Yeah, well, John gets, the meat and grease. Hal and John have to wear cups because that gets a little crazy.
A little dicey.
Chicks go crazy. say?
Yes, you will be legally married to us if you come to the meet and grope.
For me, the first two rows. I grope. I just, you know, I give you a free one during
and,
the show.
And children may be conceived.
That's true.
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, yes, it's been known to happen. And if you are in the front three rows, you can clone Stephanie Miller because you'll get that much of her DNA on you.
Wow. Yes. And that's just the teabagging.
Mm-hmm. Shauna in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Shauna.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, and you are the most pleasant thing to see on TV.
The most what?
The most pleasant.
Oh, thank you.
Right? You do look great on those promos, by the way.
You know, oh, thank you. Why? Well, those are heavily airbrushed.
Very, very professional.
Actually, Bill Press played me in those promos. Yeah. Go ahead, Shauna.
Your personalities are wonderful to hear in, during the day. I worked for a small station in the 80s, and it's a blast. To see it on TV is the greatest.
Oh, good.
I'd say as far as Trayvon is concerned, I feel for his family.
Yeah.
When he was told, the officer was told not to proceed, and he did. Mm-hmm. He was not wearing a uniform.
He was not an officer.
And Shauna, not only, you know, this police video, it's not only the lack of any visible injuries on him of any kind. Does this look like a guy that's really distraught over having just killed an unarmed teenager? I mean, you know.
I know several police officers. Okay, so, and I used to be a nurse. Adrenaline, your blood pumps. So he would have blood on him, number one.
Mm-hmm. And on his light-colored shirt, by the way.
Well, exactly. I'm just saying the degree of his injuries are, because now, of course, they're going, oh, well, they cleaned him all up. I'm like, really? Mm. First of all, that's the other thing you're not supposed to do.
Right.
You know.
There's also a doctored frame of that film that purports to show cuts in the back of his head.
The Daily Caller.
But I don't know who came up with that.
And they want you to believe that the fact that Trayvon Martin may have had a bag that may have had marijuana in it is relevant, but the fact that this guy's dad is a judge isn't.
Yeah. His Robert Zimmerman, this is his dad yesterday.
Trayvon Martin said something to the effect of, you're going to die now, or you're going to die tonight, something to that effect.
Sure.
And he continued to beat George, and at some point, George pulled his pistol and did what he did.
And how does Robert Zimmerman know this? Was Robert Zimmerman there?
Hearsay.
This is total hearsay.
Total hearsay. Yeah. And how can you threaten someone with a bag of Skittles?
Yeah.
You're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to die with this. And
eat
I've
Skittles.
Got juju beads.
Mm-hmm. Taste the rainbow. Yeah.
Pez. I mean, seriously.
Right.
The guy with the gun is being...
The guy with
help,
the gun
help.
Is crying help.
I'm pursuing a guy with a gun. I'm the guy with the gun. But the point is, I feel threatened.
It's almost Easter and I've got peeps. Right. I mean, seriously?
Okay, no, I mean
cream eggs can do some damage, though.
The Zimmerman camp has changed the narrative so many times.
Lethal. What's that?
The Zimmerman camp has changed the narrative more than George Lucas, okay, with his own story.
And again,
it's only going to hurt him in the long run, because God help him if he ever is indicted or if the feds get into this, because he's got so many surrogates going out telling so many stories that contradict each other. And the worst thing, the ugliest thing, was when it was the Sanford Police Department released or leaked this information about the cannabis in Trayvon's bag, mm-hmm. which is purely a smokescreen to hide the fact that this investigation was completely incompetent.
Yeah, blame the victim when he's already dead and can't, you know, defend
Because you know
himself.
How violent pot makes teenagers, right? You know that.
Oh, sure.
George Zimmerman's dad again last
night. Trayvon Martin walked up to him, asked him, do you have a problem? George said, no, I don't have a problem. And started to reach for his cell phone. At that point, he was punched in the nose.
Uh-huh.
And he knows all this how. He knows it for a fact how. He wasn't
Here's one
there.
Thing we know.
He didn't observe any of this.
Yeah.
Here's one thing we do know. If George Zimmerman stayed in the car, that kid is still alive.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. How
does he know he's reaching for... How would he know that he was reaching for a cell phone? The guy's pursuing him.
Right.
Stalking him.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly, John. Isn't that the point? That even that's not relevant. Most parents teach their kids, defend yourself if you have to.
Right.
Or you're being stalked by a stranger.
And he reaches in his pocket for something. I mean, maybe he did punch him in the nose. But
And look, it's understandable. Right. He loves his son. He's going to do anything he can.
Yeah.
But in the long run, he may be hurting his son legally.
He slammed up President Obama and the civil rights leaders for supposedly spewing hate. What? That, the president's statement was the least hateful thing I've ever seen. It was thoughtful. It was empathetic. It was personal. It was human. It was as a father.
Right. But,
yeah.
but saying effing thing that rhymes with spoons, that's not hate.
Yeah. Well, he said groups demanding justice for Martin, like the Congressional Black Caucus and NAACP, are trying to get notoriety or profit from this in some way.
Shut up, you moron.
Yeah. He said he called on Obama to go beyond the hate. The president didn't even mention Zimmerman.
Who started it?
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, it's just this meme on the right that if you mention race in any context, you are a racist.
Well, and that's the new racist.
If you mention that a guy said C word for black person on a 911 tape.
Well, you're racist for pointing it out.
Yes.
And denial of racism is the new racism. And now the latest meme is that they're saying he wasn't saying that C. Can we say that word on the air? I don't know. But
the C word?
No. We prefer not to.
Well, it's so easy not to and go through your day. But that
raccoons.
The latest
we'll say
theme,
raccoons.
He didn't say that. He was saying coño. He was speaking. He was speaking Espanol, but that's just as ugly a term too.
Yeah.
So if that was the term, he certainly had hate on his mind.
Trayvon's mom yesterday.
This video is the icing on the cake. This is not the first part of evidence that they have had. They have had the 911 tapes, and they have also had witnesses.
Yep. Teresa in Denver. Hey, Teresa.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Congratulations on your new show. I'm so happy I get to watch you again.
Thank you.
I used to listen to you when I had a job, but I was laid off in February.
Oh, sorry.
That happens when you're 9 months pregnant and your boss is a tool.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
So anyway,
sorry.
I guess my point about the Trayvon case is, how come nobody's mentioned what the actual crime rate or crime statistics were in that area? What gave him the idea that necessitated he drive around with a 9mm? If my husband felt like he had to drive around and protect our neighborhood with a 9mm, I think we'd move.
Right. Yeah. Right. Hmm. And Teresa, I think, I found another article yesterday. It was just, obviously not hilarious in the light of what happened, but this guy was a vigilante doofus. He reported one of the 49 911 calls. One, he was reporting two guys with a Slim Jim. They were locked out of their own car.
Yeah.
Don't get another hobby or something. I mean,
and
seriously.
And he didn't mean the meat product. He meant the thing.
Yes.
The car. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I really think what we're going to find is that Mr. Zimmerman has a long history of emotional problems.
Uh-huh.
There's a story now on Ross' story that he was apparently fired from a job because he lost a security guard job after he snapped. We know that his ex-girlfriend filed a restraining order against him because she accused him of violence against her. Mm-hmm. He shoved a cop.
Yeah.
And I really feel that if they're going to wind up going with a mental instability defense, again, they're just making it worse for themselves by hiding and sending out these surrogates saying different stories.
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, back with more on this, all the latest details. We continue Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
We're the only station on earth that still plays Betty Boo.
I dragged that along from my music radio days. Hot 97 of New York, everybody. Good morning.
Now I know why all the chairs in here are broken. You guys are chair dancing wildly.
Jim has too much dignity to chair dance. Yeah, John, somebody critiqued Chris and my dancing, not so much.
Yeah,
the sad thing, what's even sadder for us is we don't do it for the TV cameras or even for the Ustream cameras previously. I've always done it just because I'm a dancer, damn it.
Well, that's my question, I guess. I've been watching you guys. I've been watching all week, and it's really fun. I know the studio so well, and seeing it on TV is a thrill. How is it changing for you? Is it changing the way you do radio, knowing you're
brighter.
On camera?
It's much, much
the radio
much
show
brighter.
With more light.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what it is.
But, you know, you have to live with it. I'm a dancer, but I do know one thing, and that is...
No chance that I am going to roll around naked in creamed corn with a bunch of drunken yahoos trying to stick niblets up my hoo-ha.
I always get those two confused. It's
not giblets. No.
No, that was from Striptease.
That was from Striptease.
Yeah.
Demi Moore vehicle.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth Berkley is...
Showgirl.
Showgirls. That's what I'm thinking.
You're thinking... Yeah.
Both dancers.
I did a radio show with her cousin.
That's weird.
Who?
Yes.
Elizabeth Berkley's cousin?
Perry Berkley, yes.
By the way, Mark in Texas says...
Oh, you can top that?
I saw Elizabeth Berkley do Lenny in London's West End with Eddie Izzard playing husband and wife.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's you're right. That's weirder. You win.
That one
you
never
win.
Made it to America. She
no,
played Honey.
As well
she,
it shouldn't.
She played Lenny Bruce's wife.
Speaking of entertainment, Mark in Texas writes, Steph, I love this show, but how about an uncut, unedited version of the TV show? You could show late at night. A lot of foul language, a little nudity would be nice. Actually, you know what? They may have already gotten that because I didn't realize the cameras and mics were up after.
Even though I've told you like
no,
every time.
I'm not paying attention. Because I started swearing almost immediately and taking clothes off. I didn't realize.
You've been fine.
Oh?
You've been fine
30
so
seconds
far.
After we go to our radio commercial break?
Well, whenever I tell you.
Really?
It doesn't happen every break. It's when I tell you.
I did not know that.
Oh, wow, Steph.
So you're already getting them, Mark, the uncut version. Enjoy.
Why do you think I was talking to the people on Current?
I don't know. I don't really care.
He's looking at the ceiling and talking.
Okay. Then. Let's go to, let's see. Oh, Dave in London. Why, look at us. Dave in London, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Good afternoon. First of all, on behalf of your mother, Stephanie, on behalf of Rebecca, and everyone in the Eastern chat room, please lose the hat.
No. I would have to get up even earlier than...
Than stupid o'clock.
To show us all good, I'm sure Chris will lose his shirt, you know, to
oh,
you know,
all right.
George Jennings. As part of the official bi-national same-sex couple in Gamma Exile of the Stephanie Miller Show, bring the tour to London. We want you here.
Oh.
The world is in the U.S. You have a lot of fans here, especially the Democrats abroad here in the U.K. We all talk about your show.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Come here.
Awesome. All right, honey.
That'd only be 20 hours on airplanes.
Yeah, exactly. That. I'm sorry. His cell phone was a little bit crappy.
No, that was Skype.
Oh, it was Skype.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it was crappy. We're sorry. All right. Let's go to Maria in Maine. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Maria.
Hey, a pleasure to talk to you. How awesome. I'm deliriously happy to have a liberal show on the radio, and I mean on television. I love it.
Yay. Thank you.
I am a registered nurse, an avid activist, liberal, and very gay. And regarding the broken nose that you're...
Really gay? Well, you must be doing it right.
Really gay.
Awesome. Good
gay.
Job. Good job.
Oh, no. George Zimmerman's father, who says that he got punched in the nose, that is so much bull because whenever there's any trauma to the nose, there's immediate bruising immediately and swelling. And the only swelling will go down with ice immediately applied, but the bruising doesn't go away for 3 or 4 days,
right.
And you raccoon eyes after that.
Right.
And the guy is so disingenuous in defense of his son when he spewed all of that bull crap, but he went on Fox to talk about the hatred that Obama, like there was hatred from Obama. Not at all. So
they will fit any story, Maria, into their storyline. The president is an angry racist. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah, and all of the Black Caucus and the NAACP spewing hatred, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
The hatred came from him, and I think that the racism from his son probably comes from his judge father.
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey, thank you.
Although I would say the new Black Panthers need to kind of shut up.
Yeah. Because you're not being helpful.
Not putting a price on the guys. Come on.
That's
the thing. Everyone's saying, oh, we're sorry we tweeted out the wrong George Zimmerman address. You shouldn't tweet out any address for anybody like that.
Exactly.
And don't do it to his family either, because there's a Robert Zimmerman's classic rock fans care about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, yes.
By the way, I want to applaud A. Jim Ward for his enormous restraint in not bringing up the single bullet theory with Arlen Specter. And Tommy and Columbus would like to applaud mine at the point when he said an outstanding senator like Joe Lieberman. Didn't say anything. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Bugles Bang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Off to you,
Stephanie Miller.
You are some kind of crazy.
Well, I'd rather be acting crazy than feeling crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang all 3 hours in the New York Bureau. Oh, I just got a text from the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Yep.
He said, okay, this video simulcast has got to end. I'm leaving home late every morning to the office where he needs to go buy more insurance. Yeah, a friend of mine said that. Nobody's getting any work done. Good for you guys. Good for you. Time wasters, our audience.
Mr. Spacely needs to go get his work done.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, son.
All right. by the way, Richard at Orange, we'll do Right Wing World in just a bit here, says, Steph, thanks for playing that Fox News guy's yesterday's soundbite. No president in history has ever said if I had a son, he would look like this child, Trayvon Martin. Well, you think maybe that makes sense? Which president had a kid that looked like him?
Yep. Yeah.
But I did a little research, found out Thomas Jefferson said the same thing.
Oh.
Richard Louise.
Our listeners are scamps.
All right. Jerry in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Mama.
Hello.
As I was listening to Robert Zimmerman defend his son slamming the NAACP, President Obama, and the Congressional Black Caucus, do any of you get the sense that maybe, just maybe, either some right-winger might have been sitting beside him coaching him to say these things?
Mm-hmm. It fits conveniently a little bit into Fox News storyline, doesn't it, about the president?
I mean, he must have been listening to a lot of Glenn Beck lately. Remember he said that President Obama had a deep-seated hatred for white people?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been the storyline ever since the campaign.
I'm sure they wrote a script for him.
Yeah, in fairness, Glenn Beck has a deep-seated hatred of sane people.
Yeah, it's true. Thank you, John.
There is that.
Get off my phone, you pinhead!
All right. Yeah, if you noticed, I have much better phone etiquette than Glenn Beck does.
Get off my phone.
Yes.
I think Beethoven is suing from the grave.
Yeah. Angie in West Virginia. Hi, Angie.
Hi, congrats on Current.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, and I just wanted to comment on the Trayvon Martin case. I think what's going on in Florida right now is just an example of the good old boy back-scratching network at work.
Yeah.
I think that's why we haven't seen an arrest. And I also wanted to comment, you know, thank God for social media. And thank God for the public becoming aware of this, because it's bringing a certain level of accountability that I don't think we would have had.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, you have to condemn the, you know, Spike Lee's of the world and say, look, we are calling for actual justice, not, you know, vigilante justice like
Absolutely.
Happened in this case. You know, and by the way, it is a chance to look at these groups like ALEC that, by the way, I will be on the whole hour, I believe, tonight with Cenk on the Young Turks.
Right.
He was first on this stuff about ALEC.
He was.
And, I mean, these gun laws all over the country. Stand Your Ground group ALEC under fire. Advocates for Trayvon Martin brought their fight for justice to Washington yesterday with a goal in mind, dialing up the pressure on right-wing think tank that promoted the Stand Your Ground killer to justify the shooting. It's the American Legislative Exchange Council, right? A conservative group that helps produce legislation for state houses across the country, by the way. We've come to pull back the curtain so that the world can meet the team of ghostwriters who've written these kill-at-will laws and spread this poison around the nation, said the head of the National Urban League. He said, people need to understand the same team of ghostwriters is poisoning the constitutional right to by spreading around the nation these despicable voter ID laws. So obviously there's the gun lobby, ALEC backed by the NRA, ExxonMobil, Walmart, quietly executing a far-right agenda at the statehouse level, including the drive to stop bargaining rights from public sector unions, raising voter ID standards, hiking up punishment for undocumented workers so that they will, quote-unquote, self-deport, as Mitt Romney says. So they got their tentacles a lot of places, John.
Yeah, they do.
They sure do, yeah. And again, you know, Michael Bloomberg, our mayor here in New York City, might be one of the most popular Republicans in the world.
Democrat.
Some Republicans call him that, but generally you look at polls and they think that he's one of the few Republicans who could give Obama a serious run for his money. And even he came out last week and said that in America, the gun lobby is writing our gun laws.
Yeah. Well, and John, you brought up some of this stuff, the stuff coming out in 2008. Zimmerman said he was involved 3 years earlier in an altercation with an undercover officer that was taking part in a sting for underage drinking near a university.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged with battery of an officer and resisting an officer with violence. Court records show a woman filed a petition for an injunction against Zimmerman that same year, citing domestic violence. Wasn't the first story, John, that he was squeaky clean? They actually used that?
Yep.
That's why they let him go?
And again, if you're a conservative, if you care about cops and law enforcement, if you care about children being affected by gun violence, you are on the wrong side if you're listening to O'Reilly and trying to demonize Trayvon and look for any possible outcome you can have. And it's really sad. I see my Republican friends on TV just doing cartwheels and yoga positions to try to find a way to somehow demonize Trayvon Martin.
To smear a dead kid.
Empty bag, which may or may not have held marijuana at one point.
Exactly. You're on the wrong side. This is, you know, I watched the McLaughlin Group last week, and I thought the planets were aligning in the apocalypse because all the McLaughlin Group even agreed on this.
Yeah.
And it's a lose-lose.
Since when have they ever all been right?
Wrong!
The guy assaulted a cop, folks, and then he's allowed to carry a concealed 9mm. You really want that guy to be your standard bearer?
Right, and yesterday, this is when I started reading more of these details about Zimmerman. By this point, he'd already begun repeatedly calling the police to report potholes, aggressive drivers, neighbors who left their garage doors open.
Wow.
In June 2007, he reported two Latino men and a white man with a Slim Jim, a device to open a locked car. Right. Police determined the men were locked out of their own car.
Yep. Yep. And again, one other thing I haven't heard talked about too much on the media. If you listen to the tape, the 9/11 tape, when he said that epithet, also he felt the need to describe Trayvon Martin as a black male twice.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He says it's a he. Well, what's his race, sir? He's black. And then he goes, he's black. It's a black male.
By the way, he's black. Yeah.
Also, why is he calling 911 to report an open garage door?
I know. Seriously.
That is not an emergency. Stop polluting 911 with that crap.
Jim Carrey on Unliving Color.
Yeah.
We're only going to hear more and more about his emotional instability because this guy had no authority to approach Trayvon Martin.
Observe Warren, and distort.
Yep. Yeah. Warren in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Warren.
What's happening, sexy mama?
Just you, baby.
You know something? You are completely gorgeous. Welcome to Current. We're just going to love. We're just going to watch. We're just going to love all over you.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds messy.
Yes, we are.
All right.
As a matter of fact, my singing group wants to be the official singing group of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow.
Ring it. All right, Warren, go ahead.
Listen, I'm a police officer, believe it or not. And I was noticing on the tape the mannerisms of the police officers that were bringing him in. They were extremely, extremely casual.
Yeah. Right.
And in my line of work, and I've been a police officer 32 years, I brought in many murder suspects. I don't ever bring them in casually. I don't ever talk to them. I don't ever pat them on the back. This thing about them having cleaned him up at the scene, that's something that's never done.
Paramedics should have been on the scene.
Yeah, but isn't that evidence? You're not supposed. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, if you've got a particularly a murder victim.
Correct. That's evidence, Stephanie. You don't clean that up at the scene. That makes absolutely no law enforcement sense. And I don't think any law enforcement academy or training facility in any state trains that you clean up the scene.
You're forgetting one thing. You're forgetting one thing. No one ever thought this would turn into a national story.
Well, that's true. Never thought anyone would hear about it.
And that's the saddest part of it, John. You know that this apparently is no big deal.
Not in Florida.
Let's go to Elma in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Elma.
Hi. This is regarding Trayvon.
Uh huh.
I wanted to know: did they ever release information about the distance Trayvon was from the shooter?
Well, no, I mean, but Elma, this is why I think because they didn't do a proper investigation. This is what you're supposed to do: ballistics, you know, splatter wounds, trajectory.
He was already in proximity. The medical examiner's office. I mean, can't they tell?
Well, he was lit as a John Doe for 3 days, even though they knew his address and all his information. But they left him sitting there, for 3 days.
And word came out this week, Elma, that the coroner said there were no bruises or any indication of any kind of struggle on Trayvon's body.
But I just thought they could tell the distance a person was standing from a gun.
Oh, absolutely.
When it
That's
part of the investigation.
If
they would come out with that information, I mean, it would either say he was on top of Zimmerman or he was, you know, standing 5 feet away from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that if they're going to try this case in the media, they should go ahead and give us all the information.
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
The county coroner of L.A. after the Bobby Kennedy assassination found that he had been hit 3 times from about an inch away because of the powder residue on the clothing and on his head. Sirhan was never anywhere that close to Bobby Kennedy.
Yes.
In other words, this is the first time we've seen the, hey, he snuck up on me from behind while I was following him defense.
Yeah. Right.
I just ran across something interesting. George Zimmerman has lied about his father. His father is not a judge. When he applied to join the Seminole County Sheriff's Office Citizens Law Enforcement Academy, he wrote on the application, father is a retired magistrate judge for the Supreme Court of Virginia. However, a Tampa television station has talked to the Department of Legislative and Public Relations in Virginia and said, Robert Zimmerman served as a full-time magistrate from 2000 to 2006. Please be advised that in Virginia, magistrates are judicial officers, but they're not considered judges.
So
he lied on his application to do that, and so that's why everybody thinks that his father's a judge. His father's not a judge.
Plus, he's pretending to be Bob Dylan, which is
exactly
the real crime.
Brenda in Texas, in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Brenda.
Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I was wondering, where is Trayvon Martin's cell phone? Nobody has mentioned that.
Well,
where
Brenda,
is it?
Right, and the other curious thing is they were saying it rang. While he's laying there dead, the police didn't answer it. I mean, there's just so many curious aspects to this case.
Wow.
His parents were calling. I think it was his dad was calling him.
That maybe he took pictures. Is there a possibility?
Oh, that's probably very possible.
It suddenly went dead.
Yep.
So.
Exactly. No, good point. Tony in L.A. Real quick. Hey, Tony.
Hey, girl. I just wanted to say, where was Trayvon shot? Wasn't he shot in the back?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. That's the problem. That's the problem with all these details sort of leaking out, or she just said being tried in the media. We don't know.
Well, that's a shame because, first of all, I'm pretty sure that's the rumor you heard that he was shot in the back, you know, and, you know, how do you fight somebody and get shot in the back?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And basically he brought some and he got some. If Trayvon fought him back and was, mollywopping him, as we used to say, he just got scared and was like, okay, let me just don't shoot him because I can't fight him.
Right.
You know, and I'm just, you know what?
Well,
this is really.
Tony, I mean, the relevant thing is that Zimmerman started this. He was following him. He was, you know, that's the whole point.
Right.
Stand your ground is for if you're being attacked or threatened.
Yeah, stand your ground may actually wind up being irrelevant in this case.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Well, the way you're going to get rid of that law, if black folks down in Florida start standing their ground, trust me, it'll be the law will get erased before God gets the news, honey, because they're not going to allow that. If you look at a lot of those cases, I'm willing to bet my life on the fact that none of them were a black person shot. White person. Let's just be real. And, you know, this just hurts me so bad because 30 years ago when I was in college, I marched on the same case. A young brother got his larynx broken.
Oof.
And he literally, from the nightstick of the policeman, and he literally drowned on his own blood because they just threw him in the paddy wagon. And that was 30 years ago when I was in Milwaukee at Marquette. You know, it's so hurting. Like, as a black person, I'm trying so hard, really, to pray and hope that justice is served. Because if you look at thousands of people marching and he still hasn't been brought in, as a black person, I already know nothing's going to happen.
Tony,
he's going to get away with it.
I hope
not. And it's really hard for me.
I hope not. Well, you know you're my favorite. How was your first time on TV?
Oh, Fab!
You're my girl.
Oh, my God, Stephanie. Oh, my God. This is wonderful.
All right. I love you, Tony. We love her so much. All right.
Yay.
That's our Tony in L.A.
Yep.
All right.
It's 48. Interesting, though, that if pictures were taken, maybe that's what caused him to shoot him. If he's taking his picture, maybe that was it.
Yep. Yeah. Who knows? 48 minutes after the hour. Right back. Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I in Albuquerque tomorrow night for the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yep.
And John Fugelsang doing something that doesn't involve me, so I don't know why it matters, but go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm announcing that this morning tickets go on sale for my Drama League-nominated off-Broadway solo show, Guilt a Love Story, at the Parker Playhouse, where we performed last December. I'm going to be down there, and those tickets went on sale at 8:30.
In Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale, so Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Come on back. It's one-third as fun as the Sexy Liberal show. And then I'm going to be, this Tuesday, I'm in Seattle at the Neptune Theater performing the first date of the tour of Guilt a Love Story. And it's a play. It's not stand-up, but it's very, very funny and guaranteed to offend and inspire all.
Yes, but about the love story between your parents, right?
Yeah, and about how I came to get married after making a vow to always be a bohemian, and how my parents came to get married after making a vow to always be celibate.
Aww.
But there's
and it
Nazis.
All came together when Mom sang along.
Yes.
Exactly. And then it includes a lot of bad behavior and the story of how I came to offer hot gay sex to David Duke on the Bill Maher show and drug busts and lepers in Africa. It's a laugh riot.
Wow.
And now it has become the legend of Henry Jack, your brand new son.
Indeed.
Aww.
That'll be in Seattle this Tuesday at the Neptune.
All right.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Thanks,
let's go to Dusty in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dusty.
Love your show, woman. I'm calling from Redneckistan, otherwise known as Bakersfield.
Hello, we salute you, Redneckistan.
Yes, and we salute you, those the few of us that are liberal here. I just want to let you know that even here in Redneckistan, we're having marches against justice for Trayvon Martin. So
Good. That's
a big deal when you're talking about a place where 99% of the people don't have two brain cells to rub together. You know, it's really a big deal. I mean, you know, I don't know how else to put it. You know, if it's hit here, it's all over the United States. You know, I'm not so sure about the middle.
I don't think this is
the middle of the United States.
I don't feel like this is a partisan thing. You know, I think it's a first of all, a parental thing from, you know, a lot of the people I've heard from. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, why, looky here, it's Rush Limbaugh on healthcare reform.
If this thing is fully implemented, not one expert will be going through those 2,700 pages. Bureaucrats will. The Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, or some nameless, faceless bureaucrat, not your doctor, not your nurse, not your surgeon. If this thing survives, somebody is going to be going through those 2,700, and it isn't going to be you. It isn't going to be your doctor. It's not going to be your nurse. It's not going to be anybody responsible for your treatment. It's going to be a bureaucrat deciding whether or not you are worth it.
Some utopia.
Is there a part of this that's not a lie? Is
part of that not really.
It's not about surgeons.
Right.
Medical, it's making healthcare affordable and available
to
everyone.
Insurance companies already do this. They already make decisions at the insurance company.
Oh, and by the way, that's when we're going to have death panels, if they take the mandate out and then they discriminate against
a pre-existing condition. You're human and you will die.
And
so
you will die.
Screw you.
Imagine that. Rush Limbaugh lying to you.
Huh.
Yeah, by the way, once pre-existing conditions comes back and your child is denied coverage because of a disease he already has, you can thank all these patriots who are calling it Obamacare and who are trying to get rid of this law. Thank them a lot. When you're a small business that hired young people because you knew they would be covered under their parents' insurance until age 26, now has to pay for their insurance, thank Rush Limbaugh and your Republican friends.
That's right.
All right, Jamie Weinstein on Red Eye.
I think these stories are insufferable. Romney's rich. He earned money in the private sector by providing services people wanted. In fact, if President Obama had an elevator in his garage before he was elected, maybe the economy wouldn't be in as bad a shape as it was. You might even say that this should be a qualification to be president. If you don't have an elevator in your garage, you probably shouldn't be running for office. At least I'm not going to vote for you.
By services people wanted, you mean having their jobs exported overseas?
Right.
By the way, did you see that Mitt Romney once made a joke about John Kerry having a big house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you know? That is so rich. Okay, Diane somebody on Fox News.
The idea of having someone in the White House that actually knows how to make money is not something I'm going to be angry about. I don't understand why people are picking a fight over this. I understand the appeal of having someone who's one with the people. But you know what? I don't need the president to have that kind of a common folk idea. I need a president who knows how to make some cash right now. That's what we all need.
You don't understand it because you're a moron.
Wow. It's like you're spraying a stupid gun all over us. You know, remember the last time? Remember the last time we had a millionaire at birth, son of a politician, CEO as president? How'd that work out for you, kids? Remind the Republican. You know, don't make Bush your drinking game word when you watch Fox News, because he's never mentioned. He never happened. And all these guys want to do is exactly what Bush did. Deregulation and cut taxes for the wealthy more.
Yep, exactly. Oh, by the way, we'll talk about the budget monster and his... Wasn't that something?
Yeah.
They didn't live up to their side of the deal. Remember when they all shut the government down?
That's right.
They're about to do it again. Wouldn't that be awesome?
All right, Patriot.
We will finish up Right Wing World. And also, Ian Millhiser, legal analyst. See what I did there?
From the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
Yes, about the Supreme Court health care stuff and much more as we continue Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday, 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Sexy Liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. On our way to Albuquerque, New Mexico to do the Sexy Liberal Show tomorrow night. We will see you there. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I. Go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, please, for all the upcoming dates. All right. Ellie wrote, Steph, congratulations on your new current TV show. This is quite an achievement. If you make it past today, you'll have exceeded your previous record on TV.
That's true.
We've still got an hour to get fired. That being said, let me say this. I just didn't need a reason to sit in front of the TV for 3 more hours a day. Here I am, though, hooked like a fish. all afternoon, every day this week. I hope I get bored with you soon or I'll never get anything done. No, you can't quit me, Ellie. You can't quit me. You're not going to get bored.
Although, if you leave it on the TV, we are very easy to listen to if you're just, you know, doing housework and stuff around the house.
That's wallpaper.
That's right.
Human wallpaper.
Just keep it tuned for all 3 hours.
Didn't the president of Kern say that in an interview?
Yeah.
We're wallpaper.
Like, thanks.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free. I'm sure he meant that in a nice way. Like, really good wallpaper.
Yeah.
Not the kind that's bubbly and smells like cabbage because it's been up there since 1874.
No.
In the 70s, we had in our bathroom, we had wallpaper that had like felt on it, felt flowers.
Yeah,
and
we
stuff.
Had that.
We're
yeah.
not that kind.
No, we're not that kind of wallpaper.
No. All right, we have fancy legal animuses on our show.
Yeah. Animi? Huh?
Analysts.
Of course. I always get that wrong.
You keep getting that wrong.
She gets it wrong on purpose. She has animus towards analysts.
Exactly. Ah. Thank you. Ian Millhiser is a policy analyst at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. That's because I'm an action hero now with my Wonder Woman background.
You are.
Okay, so he joins us now to discuss. He was actually in the Supreme Court for the arguments. Good morning, Ian.
Morning. It's good to be back.
Nice to have you back. So you got to tell me what your take is. You obviously hear people going crazy on TV, and everybody's got a different take on what's happening. What is yours?
Well, what happened here is that the conservative justices, they read through literally thousands of pages of briefing. They conducted extensive research. They examined their own past opinions. And after this painstaking process, they concluded that Barack Obama is a Democrat and they are Republican.
Yeah. I have to say, and I've heard a lot of people say this is the problem, is they become politicians.
Yeah.
You know, rather than justices. I mean, it really, somebody wrote a piece about Scalia, and it's just, that's the problem. And they also are going to a lot of these Republican fundraisers. I mean, they're not even hidden about it anymore, are they?
No, I mean, it's really very frightening. I mean, Scalia in particular was throwing out lines about broccoli and Cornhusker kickbacks, and, you know, it sounded like it was a rally at the Republican National Convention and not a Supreme Court argument. And what's sad about this is that the Constitution is really clear. You know, with respect to the so-called mandate, the Constitution says that Congress can regulate commerce. This law regulates 1/6 of the economy. That's a lot of commerce.
Yep.
So if you're going to strike that down, what you're essentially saying is, it doesn't matter what the Constitution says. We're going to do what we want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's interesting. This is our first week on Kern, which is, of course, Al Gore's network. And interestingly, they don't like judicial activism except during Bush versus Gore, ironically. Which apparently, according to Scalia, was not even close.
Yep.
It was 7-2, which I don't recall that. Do you?
Yeah, no, I seem to remember there being four justices in dissent there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, this is what I thought was interesting, an exchange between Sonia Sotomayor and the lawyer representing the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which opposes Obamacare. She got him to concede that single payer would be constitutional, which I thought was, right? She said, Sotomayor says, so I want to understand the choices you're saying Congress has. Congress can tax everybody instead of a public health care system. Mr. Carbon, yes. Justice Sotomayor, that would be okay. Okay, Mr. Carbon, yes. Tax power is Justice Sotomayor. Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Yes, nicely done.
And that's the irony, is that the Affordable Care Act is the opposite of socialism.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, the Affordable Care Act, well, you know, this was created by the Heritage Foundation, which is this right-wing think tank here. You know, it was the Republican alternative to the Clinton health plan in the 1990s. And, you know, when you think about what the plaintiffs are actually claiming is unconstitutional here, it is crazy. So you always hear them say, oh, the government can't make you buy anything. That's ridiculous. The government already makes you buy health insurance. That's what Medicare is. Mm-hmm. You know, the government takes your money through taxes and then uses it to buy insurance for you. What the Affordable Care Act does is it cuts out the middleman. And I see nothing in the Constitution saying that the government has to hold on to your money for a little bit before it's allowed to make you buy health insurance.
Ian, so what is your take on, you know, because obviously people have been saying, even as up to a week ago, people thought the mandate was safe. Now, what do you think is going to happen here? Do you think they're leaning more towards striking the whole thing or the mandate or neither or both? You know, we had somebody yesterday that said, they just have to make a lot of noise for the Republican base. Do you have a real sense as to how they're going to rule?
You know, I really hope that, you know, they're voting this morning, actually. They're probably voting as we speak on what they're going to do. And I hope that they had a few nights at home. They thought about this. They thought about the fact the scariest part of the argument wasn't even the argument over the mandate. It was the argument over the Medicaid expansion. So the Affordable Care Act expands Medicaid to people up to 133% of the poverty line. Medicaid has expanded many times before. Reagan did it three times. Mm-hmm. Clinton did it twice. And the justices were throwing out theories that wouldn't just invalidate the Affordable Care Act's Medicaid expansion. It would retroactively throw out all of those things. So tens of millions of people who currently have coverage lose it.
And, you know, as Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I think, said, you know, this is judicial overreach. This is not a conservative, you know, it would not be a conservative ruling, right?
Indeed.
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. I mean, I seem to remember someone named John Roberts testifying in a Senate committee one day and talking about, oh, if you make me Chief Justice, I love judicial modesty. Judicial modesty is awesome. And, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, not so much. That's a legal term, not so much. Ian, take us through this on the legal. What happens and when exactly?
Sure thing. So in June, we're probably going to get the answer, probably the end of June, which is towards the end of the Supreme Court term. And I should emphasize, you know, I'm sounding pessimistic because these are frivolous arguments. They shouldn't have gone anywhere. And the mere fact that we're considering them is troubling. But all is not lost. You know, Kennedy in the mandate argument expressed some skepticism, or, you know, he seemed to buy into the Solicitor General's theory that at the very least Congress can solve the problem of uninsured people showing up in emergency rooms, getting free care, and then transferring the cost of that to you and me. You know, Robert seemed skeptical of some of the arguments in Medicaid. So we could win. But, you know, the mere fact that we're having to be the least bit uncertain is terrifying because the Constitution's absolutely clear here.
I've actually heard right-wingers say, well, yes, this is why we should start all over with a bipartisan bill that isn't shoved down one side's throat. I'm like, what? The president went out of his way to compromise on this bill. There were scads and scads of hearings. He got, you know, I mean, again, you know, when you have a political environment where someone on the other side says our number one priority is to defeat the president, you know that they're not interested in you know, helping him in any way. That's been the original problem, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the lesson of this moving forward, so, you know, the reason why Obama picked this method of regulating, of fixing the problem is because it was Mitt Romney's method, it was the Heritage Foundation's method. He thought, okay, guys, like, I care enough about making sure that people don't die of preventable diseases in the wealthiest country in the world. Yeah. I will do it your way.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I think that the way this debate has gotten in this country, even if you hate the, you know, the Affordable Affordable Care Act. You hate the president. I mean, it just, do you really think that he didn't want to help people with this? Do you really think the president just wants to run health care and run car companies
just for
and
fun.
Run just, I mean, yeah. That's the thing. Is like
and
we
give
can't,
money away to insurance companies?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Ian, is we've gotten to a point where we can't even, this was Bob Dole's plan, essentially, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about it is, like, even if you assume the worst possible thing of Obama, I mean, even if you assume that the reason he did this is because he has a secret plan to eat babies.
Yes.
whatever you want to assume about him, you know what we're going to have this year? We're going to have an election. And, you know, and if you don't like Barack Obama, if you don't like what Barack Obama has done, that is the legitimate way to express your grievances. What they have done here is they said, we're going to bypass democracy entirely. It doesn't matter that Barack Obama overwhelmingly won the 2008 election. We're going to go to the Supreme Court, and we're going to get them to call it for McCain.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and here we are. It's like, well, so what happens when it's like, okay, you got cancer, you're not going to get insurance now. You know, you're 24 mm-hmm. and you're on your parents' insurance, bye-bye. I mean, it just, you know, it really is amazing that they will do anything just to defeat him, regardless of who it hurts.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, I mean, I guess like you say, I mean, we have to wait till June. It just, and I don't know, you know, a lot of times they say, oh, you know, you can't tell from the questions they ask how they're going to rule. What is your take on that this time?
I mean, I am significantly more pessimistic than I was coming into it, but I'm not despondent. I mean, like I said, Kennedy asked some questions that suggest that we could get him. Roberts asked some questions that suggest we could get him. And so when this all plays out, we could have a 6-3 decision upholding the entire law, and we can all, you know, take ourselves off suicide watch and move on. but, you know, the law, you know, I would have thought when this lawsuit was filed, there was a 0% chance that it was going to get struck down. And it's more than zero now.
Has the performance of Solicitor General Varelli caused you to be a little more pessimistic than you normally would have been, do you think?
You know, so after the argument on the mandate, I wasn't pleased with what I saw there from
right.
him. But then I saw them go into the justices go into the Medicaid argument, and you had justices suggesting that, you know, we're going to throw out 40 years of Medicaid expansions, that, you know, we're going to steal health care away from people already had. And I thought, you know what? This can't be Varelli's fault.
Okay.
You know, I mean, this is the justice came in with an agenda, and they're expressing their agenda. And I don't care who you are, you know, as an attorney, if you're arguing against judges who have that kind of an ideological bent, I don't know what you do.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it just, yeah. I mean, I think we knew how political this all was at the State of the Union. Remember when the president spoke out against Citizens United, which what 80% of the American people are against, and you have Alito there going, no. That's not right. Oh, what? I mean, it's
well, and hearing the justices repeat Tea Party talking points, like hearing
right.
Scalia talk about the Cornhusker kickbacks, which was eventually removed from the bill anyway, and Scalia didn't even know it. These guys are saying that, you know, all this argument against the bill saying you can't force this huge bloated bureaucratic bill down our throats before we have a chance to read it. Well, unless it's the Patriot Act, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the thing is, you know, when you have people like Rush Limbaugh talking about drinking adult beverages on his veranda with Clarence Thomas, you wonder why it sounds right out of AM talk radio,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of the things that they're saying. I mean, it's incredible. All right, Ian, well, we will check in with you, you know, obviously as this moves along, but we always appreciate your time.
All right, thank you so much. Hopefully I'll have good news for you in June.
Yes, I'm
all
sure
right.
you will.
Yeah. All right, thanks,
you
Ian.
Better.
Ian Millhiser of the
what a man.
Center for
you know why?
Congress.
You know why we have to wait until June to get the verdict?
Because
it takes that long for Clarence Thomas's wife to write his opinion for
oh,
him.
Oh,
see what you did
now
there.
Now you're going to over.
John,
she's going to drunk dial you for an apology tomorrow morning.
Did you get that, Newsbusters?
19 minutes after the hour, right back. More Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
All the time, bitch.
Good.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to 25 minutes after the hour. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau.
Good morning.
Marja in Chicago. Hey, Marja.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning,
Mooks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations on your show.
Thank
I'm
you.
So excited for you.
Thank you.
Couple two tree things, like they say in Chicago.
That's right.
Mama, I feel so in. I completely understand your when your brother used to tackle you and yell Butkus and then tackle you.
Yes, Dick Butkus.
I really empathize.
Mm-hmm.
My brothers used to put me on top of the refrigerator when they got sick of babysitting me because I. Just couldn't get down, so I was just stuck up there.
Yeah, I think so my brother, I think they once hid me in, he put me in the oven during a game of hide and seek when I was small. Well, he didn't turn it on.
You guys have cruel brothers.
Well, with as ugly as you were, I mean, come on.
It might have been best. My dad might have won the election.
Maria, have your brothers apologized?
Oh, they're terrified of me now, so it all worked out. I studied kung fu for a bunch of years, and
really?
Wow. Don't start brother stories with me because you know no one can top me. My brother did hang me and dig a grave for me in the fruit cellar.
I know.
And shoot me
awful.
With his BB gun. Mm-hmm.
That is not right. That
did
is not
you
right.
Study at the Dagerberg Academy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although he always did give me a head start. I got to give it to him. He always. Those are the words I remember most from my childhood. Steffi, run.
Yeah.
And then I would. And then I would hear him. I would hear him pumping the BB gun. I would hear the pump action inside.
Republicans usually give you a head start before they kill you.
Same. It's only fair to look on the bright side.
Did you call in to be Ray Stephanie's brother? Because I admire that.
All right, let's finish up Right Wing World. Eric Erickson, he's got a radio show?
Yeah.
Why can't we name this the Stephanie McSepperson Show? No.
Because that's not your name.
Whatever.
Well, you know, Republicans are the party of families.
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually want our kids to be killed. I mean, you, Mr. President, you were okay with kids being born even though there were supposed to be an abortion and then killing them after they were born. Infanticide is what we used to call that.
What the hell
now we call
it
post-birth abortion, apparently.
Mm. Wow. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. The president is... Okay. Do I need to say not for infanticide?
You know,
okay.
Not much to say.
Wow. All right. Let's finish. You know
who
what
is
I'm
this idiot?
Eric Erickson.
Erickson. So nice they named him twice.
Yeah. He's a CNN contributor.
CNN?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Does he wear his Viking helmet?
And they'll let anyone on that network. Oh, I'm sorry, John.
I'm proud to dirty up all four of the networks. Thank you very much.
That's right.
You're single-handed. You're doing the only real journalism on CNN with your... You got the Edge-a-Sketch comment.
I
know. The best journalist in the world.
So insane. I was so shocked, and I love Soledad O'Brien. She's terrific, but I was so shocked she let me ask a question. And the thing about that whole Edge-a-Sketch thing, I didn't say Edge-a-Sketch. He said it.
I know.
But to me, the one thing we keep hearing in every interview is Romney saying, I'm so conservative. I'm really conservative. It's like George Bush Sr. saying macho or Charlie Sheen saying winning. And everyone always asking, are you really conservative? So I think this guy's too conservative, and I'd never heard anyone ask that before.
Yep.
And I couldn't believe it. I got to ask the question, and bada bing.
There you go. Charles Krauthammer to finish Right Wing World.
Well, it isn't as if they hadn't had a chance to go against Romney and the establishment. They've been at it since Iowa. So, I mean, we're now 3 months in. Romney's got about half the delegates he needs. The others are trailing. None of them has any chance. Even if they've admitted they have no chance of getting the nomination on their own. So it's a blocking action, and I think it would hurt the party. And I'm told that what Romney offered Gingrich is the governorship of the moon colony.
Yeah.
He's considering it right now.
Count Chocula gets a good one in.
Terrific. All right, that concludes Right Wing World. Oh, speaking of Right Wing World, we played Rush earlier. Chelsea Clinton, did you see? She said she can relate to Sandra Fluke.
Well, yeah.
She said she and I actually have something in common. We both have been attacked by Rush Limbaugh. She was introducing Fluke at a panel in New York.
Look.
She said she. Thank you. She was 30. I was 13, she said, recalling a joke Limbaugh made about her in 1993 while holding up her photo. He said, Socks is the White House cat. Did you know there's also a White House dog?
Yeah, and you know
I'd grown up in public life and knew that having a thick skin was a survival skill. She said, I do also believe that if you have the right type of enemies, you're doing something right.
Well, good for her. Good for her.
Well, but he didn't hold up a photo. This is what a coward Rush Limbaugh is. He said they have a White House dog, and it came up in a graphic. Then he later said he had no idea what was going on. He didn't even stick to it.
Sure. Right back
Coward.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's perfect. She's loud and mouthy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hi.
First of all, I go to the Capitol in Madison pretty much every day. It's my main hangout, and I found Senator Spector to be refreshing, but that's just me.
Yes.
Anyway, I want to let people remind them know if they think they're progressive and they're not behind the Trayvon Martin story or even Bo Morrison up here in Wisconsin, you're not willing to give the families and friends a forum to describe the character of these young men, and you aren't willing to listen to forensics or even more frightening lack of forensics and investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to call yourself progressive, you need to come out of your cave.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right. Carol in Michigan on Trayvon as well. Hi, Carol.
Hi. I was wondering, what about the paramedic reports?
Yeah, well, you know, Carol, there's a lot of whatabouts. That's what we were talking about this morning. You know, that's the problem with, like, details leaking here and there, and they're not being, you know, it seems like a proper police investigation.
It all goes back to the shoddy police work that were done by the police department.
Yeah, and that isn't, you know, right-wing or left-wing or black or white. That's, you know, this is your loved one.
And that's a public safety issue that's going on in that town.
Yeah, all right. Mittens, we are, you know, we're just enveloped in our momentum, Jim.
George H.W. Bush
and Barr.
I'm going to get some khakis without pleats.
Wow, you're going wild.
George H.W. and Barr endorsing Romney.
Coming from the President and First Lady, I'm honored to have your endorsement and your support. The President indicated that we've been friends for some time. My parents were also friends of the President and the First Lady.
I bet they were.
Having your support means a great deal to me on a personal basis, a family basis, and also on a national basis.
Oh, yes. I bet you there's lots of warm, chuckly stories about various factory closings and firings.
Yeah. You know, only 17 out of 48 Republican senators have endorsed Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
Tepid is the new black.
Hello. Speaking of which, Marco.
Rubio.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney's going to govern as a conservative president. I'm confident of that.
Right.
And he'll be a significant upgrade over the current occupant of the office.
I love this.
And I'm going to be a vice president.
He described his endorsement of Romney as motivated primarily by an interest to end the Republican campaign.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's not because you like the candidate.
Wow, just get it over with.
Oh, well, God. But Rubio's playing a smart game because, look, this has been the year of the GOP lightweights. But 2016, you're going to have the heavyweights. You're going to have Rubio. You're going to have Christie. You might have Jeb. God willing, you'll have Palin. The big shots are going to come out in 4 years. Rubio's playing it really smart. He will be. I can't imagine this guy not taking the vice presidential nomination. I want to see it just for the debate.
What? I
Rubio
feel like
versus...
in some ways it's going to be just pandering like the Sarah Palin one.
That's
oh,
all
look,
it's going to be.
A girl. Oh, look, Hispanic. We have a Hispanic, you know. Well,
what are they
going to
do? Come out with new ideas?
All of their policies are hurtful to Hispanics, you know.
Exactly. But here's the thing. You've got to have 40% of the Hispanic vote in this country to win the White House.
Yeah.
So without Rubio, they can't even avoid embarrassing themselves. And I want to see Rubio go after Joe Biden. That's going to be a debate. That's going to be the comb-over versus the plugs.
Yeah.
The president said it best. He said, you know, he'll just use a bunch of moments from the Republican debate and run it on Univision on a loop.
But immigrants from Mexico and Guatemala and Central America are not going to be impressed by a Cuban. They're not on the same page.
That's what I'm saying. It's part of, you know, it's like you said,
Jim. They're Hispanics. They all think alike.
It's like you said, Jim, when they appointed Michael Steele. You said you do get that it's not just any black guy,
exactly.
Right? It's insulting. It's like, you know, this is how they think they're, you know, going to nail down certain constituencies.
What? You speak Spanish? You must think exactly like all these other people.
Yeah. Asked to explain the timing of his endorsement, he said when it became clear that Gingrich and Santorum couldn't win enough delegates, he made the calculation it was time to endorse. Well, there's a full-throated, passionate...
The math is forcing me to... All right, whatever.
I'm on a floor fight. Okay.
Yippee.
Jim, who said friends don't let friends use pink balls?
Well, huh?
That guy.
Freddie Mercury.
No, that was a good guess, though. No, Rick Santorum.
Oh, wow.
I was going to say J.J. Bullock.
He's not a...
Stop
That's
it.
That's a good guess. That's
what?
A good guess.
What?
How dare you,
he was
sir?
Not a fan. He's not a fan of pink balls.
Not a fan of pink balls.
No. He jokingly chastised a boy for using a pink bowling ball during a campaign stop in Wisconsin.
A guy in a sweater vest did that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He told the boy who reached for a pink bowling ball, you're not going to use the pink ball. We're not going to let you do that. Not on camera. Friends don't let friends use pink balls.
Wow. I'm glad they're letting him freestyle his own jokes and not writing them for him.
By the way...
Friends don't let Santorum not wear Spanx when he bowls, by the way.
Yikes. Right? By the way, I love this story. Santorum complains it isn't easy being him. Is he... You're thoughts? Shinier or whinier? He's both shiny and
it's
whiny.
It's not easy being brown.
Oh.
Jim Louise.
That's Lord. Time to sweater vest.
Pink balls do not go with Santorum. Okay.
No, seven kids.
We're really closing out the week like this?
Apparently, no, we're not.
Apparently, Santorum complains that Mitt Romney and his allies are outspending him. He laments he doesn't have as beefy an organization as Romney. He insists Romney is trying to change the rules of the campaign by running unfair ads. I'm not complaining. I'm not going to be whining about this, Santorum insists, yet lately.
Santorum whined.
Yeah. The Supreme Court changed the rules on this campaign, not Mitt Romney.
He's floated the notion that he'd accept a vice presidential slot, although he said Romney is the worst Republican in the country. Whatever is fueling Santorum's gripes,
so funny.
It sheds light on his personality, perhaps how he'd behave during dark days in the Oval Office. Yeah, he's very, very whiny. Even in victory, he has complained. If I'm the winner by that big a margin, why am I not on TV?
Why am I not on TV?
He asked of no one in particular last Saturday after the Louisiana primary.
He whined to the air.
Put me on TV!
You get nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
No teleprompters, no pollsters, right? No pollsters, no speechwriters, he griped in Sheboygan. He can't keep pace with Romney's televised advertising. 20-1, that's what we were outspent, he said after the Illinois primary.
Wined.
Even though it was 7-1, he was outspent 7-1.
So funny.
But I'll accept the vice presidential slot.
Okay. Governor Romney's out there trying to spin this thing because he's not able to win this on the battlefield. He's trying to win it by changing the rules.
Actually, he's easily able to win this on the battlefield, and he's in the process of doing so, Rick.
Yes, he is.
Now he's currently whining about the media, as you know. He said they're all trying to go home, get off the road, and stop writing about this thing. They're all tired. They're sick of writing the stories. They want this thing to be over. I get it. I've been on the road, too. Yeah, well, you wanted to run for president.
Yeah.
Get off the road, then. since June 1, God. I've been home for a complete 5 whole days, 2 for Thanksgiving and 3 for Christmas. I'm tired.
It's not fair.
No one's forcing you to run for president.
Well, if he's whining about campaigning, I mean,
I'd whine
to be president. Good Lord.
I whine about being on the road, but that's because John Fugelsang forced me, and I didn't want to.
That's right. I force you to do something that you didn't want to do.
That's right.
I'm a bad person, a bad friend. Yeah, and your fans hate you for it, too.
Mike, someone please call me a wambulance. Thank you. Days ago in Franksville, Wisconsin, Santorum talked about tough times on the trail and said he'd rather be home where he could... Well, go home, then!
We'd rather that, too!
Yes,
by all means! Make a Republican happy and drop out, Santorum.
Take your pink balls and go home!
Get your home with your big balls!
Slide back towards Pennsylvania, Santorum. And don't let the party that hates you hit you on the way out.
He's really foaming at the mouth. It's really
not
pleasant to watch.
Okay,
how
he's
dare
just
you,
trying.
Sir.
We've got like 20 minutes left, and he's trying to get us fired by the end of this week. All right. Oh, by the way, Sarah Palin once again manages to make Santorum's New York cursing out the New York Times reporter.
Yeah.
About the most important thing in the country.
Her.
Mm. Yes, her.
Cool. Yeah.
She makes everything about her.
Can you imagine if Barack Obama had cursed at a reporter with his daughter standing right next to him?
Yeah.
What would have happened on Fox News?
Yeah.
Angry black man!
Yeah. She said to Greta Van Susteren, it was good, it was strong, it was about time, because he's saying enough of the liberal media, twisting the conservative words, putting words in his mouth, taking things out of context, and even just making things up. So when I heard Rick Santorum's response, I was like, well, welcome to my world, Rick, and good on ya.
Oh, please, that's not true. And you know what? She's right about one thing. She is right that Rick Santorum's words were twisted by that New York Times reporter. I'll back Santorum up on this. It wasn't fair what the guy said, but it's been very fair the things that have been said about Sarah Palin, and she's earned it.
But he did say he's the worst Republican in
the country. On health care,
he was talking about health care.
And that reporter really did take it out of context.
He was asking him to clarify. That's all he was doing.
You know what? No, he didn't. He said, you said that Romney was the worst guy to run. We're liberals. We have to be the good guy, Steph. It sucks sometimes, but we got to be fair. And that's the other side can smear everything and
you
smear Santorum.
Can't make me and you can't make me go
on the road. I don't want to be fair.
Santorum will not be smeared.
John, you're trying to get us fired from New York.
Oh, dear.
Everybody is. David in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm close to being fired. Go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. We're going to see you tomorrow night in Albuquerque at the Pope Joy.
Yay!
Rock on.
Yay. Partey. Partey's in Albuquerque.
It's a weird name. Popes don't really get a lot of joy in their life, do they?
No, ironically.
And they got to cover up the other guys who did.
Yeah.
Go on. I got to tell you, I got 2 tickets tomorrow night and got them for my husband's birthday, who's next month.
John, if I can say something.
Yes.
Stephanie, can I be the official old Catholic bishop for the Stephanie Miller Show?
All right.
And you have a husband?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you, I like being Catholic. I didn't like being Roman, so I found the old Catholic Church. It's great. It's liberal.
He's waxing on about his boyfriend.
None of the bad stuff.
The bishop.
All right.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow.
Awesome.
Both of us.
Can't wait to see you.
All right, honey.
Absolutely. Enjoy Albuquerque.
All right. Thank
you, honey. You're going to see a great show tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's very, very, very exciting. Oh, can I have some rich person music, please? Speaking of griping, Jim Romney's campaign has griped about the tax problem created by Romney's $100 million IRA.
Oh,
poor baby.
Wow, his excuse campaign isn't helping with the whole out-of-touch rich guy thing.
My IRA is not the right height.
No. They bemoaned in the Wall Street Journal the tax problem created by Romney's massive $100 million retirement account. Don't you hate that? When your $100 million is taxed incorrectly.
Sucks to be him.
In any case, swelling the IRA to the size Mr. Romney's has reached has created a tax problem.
Good heavens. Lovey, we have a tax problem. Fire all the attorneys.
Tax law changes since his Bain tenure mean the long-term capital gains in regular accounts now are taxed at 15%, but IRA gains are taxed at ordinary income rates, upon withdrawal, from which Mr. Romney, under current law, would be 35%.
They can't do that to a Yale man.
His campaign official actually said, who wants to have $100 million in an IRA?
What?
I'll take it.
I'll make do.
Can I just say that's more than current pays Stephanie in a whole month?
That's right. What? Romney's own tax plan will alleviate his problem by implementing 20% reduction in the top income tax rate. Isn't that convenient? His own tax plan would cut his taxes at least
a half. Wow. What incredible irony, maybe.
Oh, please, don't act like that's not a real person with a real problem. Ugh. Horrible when you have a tax problem.
I'm being taxed on $100 million. Well, that's outrageous. I won't pay it.
46 minutes after the hour.
To sell one of Ann's Cadillacs.
Lovey. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Cannot get enough 80s music.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Up to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. John Finkelsang, sexy liberal in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller Incorporated. So that little budget monster, Paul Ryan, did you see this? So unlike Republicans to go back on their word. Along party lines, the House approved a new Republican-backed budget Thursday, promising to cut by half the 10-year deficits, but also walking away from the debt deal. Remember that? The whole government shutdown debt deal stuff they agreed to?
Yeah.
whole thing, yeah.
I call it the Boo Radley plan because it's never leaving the House.
Yeah. Thank you, John. The price paid by Congress big, wreaking havoc with hard-fought bargains under the Budget Control Act, inviting another shutdown fight. Oh, I already have shutdown fatigue.
Did you say hard fart boggins?
Yeah. I think. Excuse me? The Armed Services Committee is exempted entirely, breaking faith with the spirit of the August Accords.
Huh.
Instead, food stamps, healthcare programs, and federal worker retirement benefits, prime targets.
Yep.
Target effective
Any questions?
Date for this legislation will be July 1st, an almost impossible schedule given the anticipated opposition in the Senate.
How can anyone who's not Mitt Romney be voting for Republicans? I mean, unless you have $100 million in an IRA.
Oh, did you see John Boehner? He said, we've made the tough choices to preserve freedom in America. What?
What?
I made a tough choice to
not preserve
Medicare.
Steny Hoyer said, we took the nation to the brink of default before we agreed. Keep the agreement. Indeed, the cuts demanded, there are nearly 20% reduction when adjusted for inflation. That would leave most agencies with less than money than all the years of George W. Bush presidency. The cut larger proportionally than Ronald Reagan or Newt Gingrich achieved at the height of their powers in the 80s and 90s. These guys are incredible. And, of course, here we go again. In 51-47 vote, Senate Republicans protect big oil subsidy as gasoline profits.
That's madness.
74% of Americans want these subsidies gone.
Well, who cares what they think?
President yesterday.
I think it's time they got by without more help from taxpayers who are already having a tough enough time paying the bills and filling up their gas tank. And I think it's curious that some folks in Congress who are the first to belittle investments in new sources of energy are the ones that are fighting the hardest to maintain these giveaways for the oil companies.
Is it wrong that I don't want my tax dollars going towards helping them get record profits?
Yeah,
they can do that on their own. Yeah. They don't need my money.
This is the whole business with the Supreme Court talking about, you know, can your money be used against your will to go towards health plans?
That's
well,
what this
they use
is.
Our money to pay for
yeah.
wars we don't want.
Right.
They use our money to pay for oil subsidies we don't want.
Thank you. Mitch McLipless yesterday.
Somehow they thought that doing this would set up some kind of political win for them, which frankly I don't understand. I mean, I can't imagine anybody giving them any high fives for not lowering gas prices.
Now, children, which senator receives the most money from oil companies out of 50?
Mitch McConnell?
Shill, baby, shill.
Yeah, I get that. Jose in New Mexico on McConnell. Hello, Jose.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Yeah, listen, the reason I'm calling is that Mitch McConnell, yesterday when I was watching him on the floor there, he had that big old smirk on his face. You know,
which is hard without lips.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, I mean, he makes me sick. And the other thing is that Zimmerman, you know, he didn't just wake up one day and say, hey, today I'm going to hate a black guy or a Mexican guy. This guy practiced this kind of behavior. You know, this yeah. is not just something that you do overnight.
Yeah, well, this exactly. Is, you know, that's why we have a history of all these 911 mm-hmm. calls. Oh, look, here's something else that's shocking to nobody. Cantor's small business jobs bill gives millionaires an average tax cut of $45,000.
What a guy.
It's mm-hmm. like they're cartoons of rich people.
Yeah.
Dishonest
John. You must pay the rent.
Yeah. Yeah, Jacob Marley's ghost comes to say, tone it down a bit.
Right.
He entitled it the Small Business Tax Cut Act. It's extremely poorly targeted at small businesses. In fact, it's just another tax cut for rich people. Among mm-hmm. the biggest beneficiaries are businesses like Oprah Winfrey's production company. Hmm. You know, small businesses.
Yeah.
Professional sports teams like the New York Giants. I mean, the top 1% would receive an average tax cut that's 1,000 times bigger than the average tax cut for people in the middle quintile. Yeah, that
are
seems
there no
fair.
Prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Business owners with an annual income of $200,000 or less who comprise more than 75% of small business owners would receive only 16% of the benefit from Cantor's bill. It would cost $46 billion. Not paid for. Not paid for.
Nope. Anyway, like two wars and Medicare Part D, not paid for.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
I'm afraid I have to bug out. I have a job, a voiceover job.
Really, you're actually
to,
in a job
so,
currently. This
well,
is actually
yes,
a television but... job you're on right now.
But, yeah.
God, yeah.
All right. You're all right, Jim. Well, thanks for coming. Appreciate it. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
See you next week.
All right. Bye, Jim.
Bye, Jim.
He takes this very, very seriously. All
right.
Right. See
so for, he can
he
catch
means
the
a real
9 a.m.
Yeah.
He can catch the 9 a.m. rush hour traffic 4 minutes earlier.
Yes, exactly. Charlie Sheen faced tough questions from Matt Lauer on Today Show. Did you see that, John? He pressed him.
Believe it or not, no, I did not watch Charlie Sheen's interview on the Today Show. I was.
He was actually on another network
he
at
was
that
on
time.
A, oh, well, that's right. He was on a.
Yeah,
a
I really wanted to. It was my day to go French Kiss the Homeless, and I just couldn't get down.
Oh,
I really
sorry.
Wanted to go. Yeah. How was it? Was he winning?
He,
duh.
There's a TMZ video that appears to show him drunk outside a Guns N' Roses concert, and he's. But, you got to love this. He sort of doubled down. He said, I didn't fall off the wagon. I'm just a lightweight. So his solution is he's not drinking enough.
He's a lightweight?
Yeah. He's telling friends he does drink occasionally, a few drinks at the concert, but they hit him pretty hard.
Wait, he
said, this is
the
what
Kennedys.
Happens. This is what happens when you don't drink often enough. So that's really what's wrong is he's not drinking enough.
Somebody help him.
Yeah.
He just
you know who needs to help him?
Who?
Lindsay Lohan. She's
mm-hmm.
Her probation is over.
She's free and clear.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Jim had to leave early because Lindsay Lohan's back on the streets.
Right.
Probably could be driving the wrong way right now.
Right here on the 134.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. Kids, I think we're going to wrap up. John Fugel saying, I will see you tomorrow night in Albuquerque.
I'll see you tomorrow. And one more time, I'm in Seattle at the Neptune Theater for my solo show for Off-Broadway on Tuesday. Thank you,
awesome.
Steph.
Awesome.
You're going to kill tomorrow. Can't
tomorrow
wait.
Night in Albuquerque for the Sexy Liberal Show. Go to sexyliberal.com. Got to give a shout-out to Current. They've made us feel so
yeah.
very welcome, assuming we're still on.
Y'all look great on that
show. As far as I know.
All the folks in the control room, Jeff Green, Courtney Ford, all the folks, hello in the control
hello.
Room. Back here.
James running the chat.
Yeah.
Yep.
David Borman, the president,
soon.
Shelley Lewis, everybody. And I will be on with Cenk tonight on the Young Turks for the whole hour. For the hour.
For the hour.
Call me, Shelley. Yeah. Call me.
Anyway, just made us feel so very welcome. Yeah. And thanks for all your kind letters and emails and all of that. We will see you back here Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show. Mm-hmm.